Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Mem Dalet. We are in Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom. These dafim are really short. I explained to you once before a relationship between the length of Rashi and the difficulty of the daf. Okay, if you see a lot of Rashi, the daf is going to be very difficult. If you see a little bit of Rashi, the daf is not going to be difficult. That is a fair expectation. I will say the same thing regarding the Ran. Right, it's basically the same idea. In other words, the more explanation that the Rishonim have to do, that means that the more cryptic, the more complicated the sugya is, and the more explanation it demands and needs. So this is going to be, today's going to be a perfect example. How much daf is there? There's not a lot of daf in today's Gemara. It's very short. On the other hand, what's the degree of difficulty? Degree of difficulty today is very high. So in advance, I'm telling you that as much as we're going to try to be as clear as possible regarding the Gemara, it's going to be a challenging day. But in terms of what we're trying to accomplish today, well, that's really easy. That's simple. And so let's get underway. We were discussing yesterday a little bit regarding Hefker and exactly the process and procedure in which how Hefker works. Why did we get onto this discussion? Because of the Mishnah yesterday's daf. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf. So we went over exactly how it is that when I'm a Madir and you Mudar and you can't get benefit from me, so is there any way for you to get benefit from me? Which is, I know it's funny, but that's effectively what we've been discussing. So you're not allowed to get benefit from me, but is there a way for you to get benefit from me? And the answer is yes. Of course, there's a way for you to get benefit from me, and that would be what's called indirect. So indirect benefit would be perfectly fine, and not a violation of the neder as well. As long as there is a circuitous route in which you are going to be benefiting from me, and it's not going to be direct, it's not miyad liyad, so then it would be fine. So the easiest way to go about this is what's called the middleman. In other words, to have somebody go ahead and provide the hana for him, and I'm going to reimburse the mahana. So that would be the easiest example in which this would occur. And so therefore, what I'm going to do now is that I'm just simply going to speak to somebody and say, look, Nebuch, that poor guy over there, so he can't eat. He has no food to eat. So go ahead. You know what? Let him go into your store. You'll feed him. You'll whatever kind of store it is. You'll feed him, and you'll come back to me, and I'll take care of the tab. Good. So that's fine, and that would not be a violation of the neder. Good. Not exactly clear under what circumstances it can be done. In other words, the Mishnah describes some sort of desperation. It's difficult to imagine that we're really talking about sakanas nefashos. If we're talking about sakanas nefashos, so then you have to go about in a circuitous fashion. I don't know. Unclear. But nevertheless, so this is what's called indirect, and that would be fine. Let's say you are traveling, and it's three people traveling together. And again, there's a madir, there's a mudar, and the mudar is not allowed to get benefits. So what you do is that you'll take your food, you'll give it to the third party, literally in this case over here, the third party, right? There's a third person there. You'll give it to him, and then what he'll do is he'll turn around and give it to the mudar. And again, that would be fine. That wouldn't be a problem whatsoever. Okay. And what if it's just the two of you? So this is where we got to this is the end of the road in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah yesterday's daf described where there's just the two of you, and it happens to be that you're walking together and you're a madir and he's a mudar, and he's not allowed to get benefit from you and he's hungry. Now what? Now what can be done? So in yesterday's daf, what we described is the following. You'll take the food, you'll put it on a fence, and you'll declare it to be Hefker. What it'll then do is they'll take it away from Hefker. So basically what you did is you create an escrow account. Okay, and in that escrow account, now once you put it in there, you declare it to be Hefker, which means that escrow account is not a great description of what Hefker is. In fact, it's a pretty bad one. But the idea is that basically by you now leaving it for Hefker, it's no longer yours. And when he's taking it from not you. So he's taking it from Hefker, and that would be acceptable. That's the Tanakama of yesterday's daf. And then yesterday's daf, what we saw, Shitas Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says, nope, that's not indirect. That's not considered indirect. Good. So that's Rav Yossi Shita in the Mishnah yesterday's daf. What do we do? All of yesterday, and actually all of today, and that is that we try to wrap our head around Rav Yossi. Why? What's wrong? In other words, it sounds legitimate. Understood, by the way. It doesn't sound perfectly legitimate, but at least mechanically we understand what's happening. In other words, what you're doing is that you're giving it to, you're giving it away to Hefker, which now means that anyone can go ahead and take it. Now, he's not taking it from you. He's taking it from Hefker. Meaning the Tanakhama's viewpoint seems to be pretty reasonable and pretty straightforward. So what is behind the Shita Rav Yossi? So in yesterday's daf, we had not one but two different svaras for Rav Yossi. The first svara, by far and away, is the most interesting. And what we're going to be doing in today's daf is we're going to be coming back to this first svara. So let's get it down well. And that's Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yossi. What did Rav Yochanan say? that Rav Yossi has a very novel way of looking at Hefker. What is Hefker? What is the mechanics of Hefker? When I leave it for Hefker, so what am I doing now? Am I disowning it? No, says Rav Yochanan, in explanation of Rav Yossi. So just to be clear, by the way, in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, there is a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi in terms of how Hefker works. According to the Tanakhama, the way Hefker works is the way we typically understand how Hefker works. And that when I disavow, when I say I'm no longer the owner of it, so that's it. I'm no longer the owner of it. So who could take it? Anyone who wants. So when my mudar goes ahead and takes it, so he's not taking it from me, he's taking it from Hefker. That would be the Tanakhama. What Rav Yossi would argue is that no, I think fundamentally Hefker works on a totally different in a totally different manner. When I go ahead and declare to be Hefker, I am not disowning it. I'm still the owner. What I'm allowing somebody to do is to go ahead and take it from Hefker. But in other words, when I say from Hefker, it's really from me, meaning that it's no different than a matana. In a matana, when I'm giving you a gift, so what happens? Transfer of ownership from me to you. So Rav Yochanan says that according to Rav Yossi, Hefker is the same thing. It just happens to be that I'm not handing it to you. But still, when I put it down over there and say it is Hefker, what I'm really saying is that I'm mine, but I'm prepared to give it to whoever wants to take it. And you go ahead and you take it. So what you're doing is you're not taking it from Hefker, you're taking it from me. Good. That is Shitas Rav Yochanan in understanding of Rav Yossi. Now, that is really interesting. That's definitely a Chiddush. It certainly explains Rav Yossi of the Mishnah. Now you understand that according to Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, so why can't I do it? Why can't I put just simply declare it Hefker and then have somebody else take it? Because it's not indirect. That's considered direct. And I'm a Madir, he's a Mudar, he can't get benefit from me. That would be a direct violation of the Isser of my Neder. Okay. And again, we already discussed who exactly is the violator of the Neder. Is it going to be me? Is it going to be him? Machlokas, we showing him the Rambam and the Ran. Something that we covered already a number of times, but that's not for today. Okay, but anyway. Good, so that was Rav Yochanan's explanation. And yesterday's daf, we really struggled with this explanation, meaning as much as, first of all, it's a tremendous chiddush in of itself. But on top of that, the Gemara quoted yesterday not one but two different brisas. The brisas don't seem to support such a chiddush. The Gemara ended up giving another explanation of Rav Yossi. And going back to yesterday's daf, so the second explanation for Rav Yossi was provided by Rava. Rava said, it's actually very simple. Rav Yossi does not have any dramatic difference in terms of how Hefker works. Rav Yossi's understanding of Hefker is that effectively it's like what we thought it was, right? That Hefker is basically I'm disowning it. And now somebody's taking it from Hefker. What's the issue? The issue is that I may not be doing it in the most sincere manner. In other words, consider, there are two of us and he's hungry and he's really hungry. And I have food. So over here, are we really going to go through the legal mechanics of, I'm going to declare it Hefker, he's going to take it from Hefker. Maybe the concern is that I'm just going to give it to him directly and violate my neder. In other words, Zigzera, a rabbinic decree under those circumstances. Okay, good. So that was Rava's explanation. Good. And Rava's explanation is not challenged. Rava's explanation, whether it's accepted, it's kind of hard to say, meaning all we're doing yesterday and today is trying to wrap our heads around a Shitas Tana of Rav Yossi, and it could very well be that the halacha doesn't fall like Rav Yossi. But still, Rav Yossi is part and parcel Torah. Understanding Rav Yossi is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. So what we tried to do yesterday is try to understand the Shita of Rav Yossi. And even if we do have a good understanding of Rav Yossi, that doesn't tell us that that's the halacha, but still, okay, that's...
Correct.
That's right. That's a concern. That's what you're doing. In an upcoming daf on Memches, just 4 days from today. So the Gemara is basically going to have a similar idea regarding a chasna. We'll get to the Gemara. The Gemara yesterday referenced it. Okay. We're going to come back to that. Okay, Tanya. So what we're going to do now for today, it's a really short daf, is that we're going to try to go back to the Svar of Yochanan. In Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yossi, that the way Hefker works is that Hefker is not a siluk. I'm not removing myself from the item. I'm just simply allowing somebody else to go ahead and to take it. But when he does, it basically was a direct transfer from me to him. Good. So that is the Rav Yochanan understanding of Rav Yossi. Keep that in mind. And now we're going to learn a Braisa together. The Braisa over here is anonymous. We don't know who the author of the Braisa is. Where we're going to be spending our entire day deliberating. Maybe the Braisa is Shitas Chachamim. Maybe the Braisa is Shitas Rav Yossi. And when I say that, meaning we're going to operate with the assumption that Rav Yossi, Rav Yochanan's understanding Rav Yossi. Even though it's really interesting, meaning I go back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday, the Gemara wasn't happy with Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yossi. Noted. But still, what we're going to try to do today is, it's a simple day, learn a Braisa and assign authorship of the Braisa. That's it. That's today's daf. It's so easy to say, but then we actually have to do it. Darn. Okay, let's try. Okay, Tanya, so we are on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis with a Braisa. Hamafker Sadeo Kosho Shiyamim, Yachol Achsebo, Mikan Ve'elachin Yachol Achsebo. So you declare something to be Hefker. Now over here, what we're describing is your field. In other words, when we say your field, really, we mean the produce of your field. So now, just a quick refresher, and that is that when you have a field and you have produce coming off the field, and you're the owner of the field, so there are taxes to pay. Taxes is not the best way to describe it, but it is a good way to describe it. You have to be mafresh trumas ha'maisros. 2% goes to the Kohen, 10% goes to the Levi, another 10% is going to go. The designee of the second 10% depends on the year, whether we're in the first, second year of the Shemitah cycle versus the third year of the Shemitah cycle. In years 1 and 2, it's Maester Sheni. In year 3, it's Maester Ani. Great. Right, you're hearing this for the first time. That's a lot of information. Anyway, what the certainly just the easiest way to think about it is that you have over 20% of it that has to go away. That has to be given away. Good. So that's if you're the owner of the field. What if you take the produce and declare to be Hefker? What's the halacha regarding produce of Hefker? Produce of Hefker now becomes tax exempt. It creates an immediate tax exemption once it goes to Hefker. Why? Because it's ownerless. The only produce that needs to have Hafrashas Shumas HaMaitros is only produce that has an owner. If it doesn't have an owner, there's no Chiv of Shumas HaMaitros. So over here, what are we learning in the Braisa together? So what we're learning is that when you declare it to be Hefker, so now it's not going to be Chayv and Shumas HaMaitros, right? That's not exactly what the Braisa says. Reading the Braisa again, the Braisa says, HaMafker Sadeo Kol Shosh Yamim Lach Sebo. For the first 3 days, what you can do is that you can recant on your declaration of Hefker. Mikan ve'elech, we'll get to that in just a second. Perfect question. Mikan ve'elech ein yachol lachzor bo. But from that point going forward, you cannot be chozer bo. Okay. So in the first part of the Braisa, we're going to call that Reisha. In the first part of the Braisa, what comes out now is that you have declared something to be Hefker. And meanwhile, a 3-day delay. In which, in those 3 days, if you were to go ahead and now take it, it's yours. But you declared it to be Hefker. Don't matter. It's yours. And on top of that, even if somebody else went ahead and took it. So within those first 3 days, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to you. Okay? Because there is a 3-day delay on the effect of Hefker. Now why? Hold that thought for just a moment. I'm going to answer that question. After 3 days now have come and gone, at that point in time, it's now Hefker. It now is no longer yours, and if you want to take it, you're taking it from Hefker. Somebody else wants to take it, they're taking it from Hefker. Okay. That's strange. Meaning, is it Hefker or is it not Hefker? And what is this 3-day delay?
So the owner can just make a Hefker and take it right back before anybody else, and it doesn't have to
matter. So Phil already figured it out. Okay, so let's, the Ron over here, which again, obviously is writing here at length, because this is obviously all very difficult. Now we're going to see this in the Gemara, but the Ron obviously really clears this up and clarifies. The reason why there's a 3-day delay is because of the following. Here's what any farmer can do. It's a really simple maneuver. And that is that I'm not ready to part with over 20% of my produce. I like all my produce. I want to keep it. So you know what I'll do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll harvest, I'll collect all the produce, pile it up, and declare it to be Hefker. Look at my watch, count 3, 2, 1. Okay, good, now I'm going to take it. Right? In other words, legitimate, right? In other words, I created a tax exemption, and I went ahead and I took all of it. So the Chachamim recognized and realized that he wasn't serious about him being mafkeret. Meaning, it is a legality. It's a loophole. It really does work. But how sincere is that? it's pretty insincere. Meaning he wasn't really mafker it. He just did it in order to create the tax exemption. So how do I know that the person's serious? 3 days. By inserting 3 days now, we are now going to know whether or not this person is serious or not serious. Meaning if it's going to take 3 days before he's able to take it back, so at that point in time now, it's pretty clear now that he's serious. We're worried about the Ramayim. We're worried about the people who are just there to create the tax exemption. And so, and therefore, they were not really mafkirit. So what we're going to do now is that we're basically going to force them to wait 3 days. Then and only then does it belong to Hefker. Now, hopefully you're wondering.
How does that help? Because he can always take it back within the 3 days if somebody else takes it, right?
Right.
So people are going to line up and then wait 3 days in line.
Right.
And he's not going to be the first one. Just somehow it doesn't seem to help.
Okay. Fine. Right. I thought the same thing you were thinking. Okay, I'm not sure, but let me just speak out the next part, which is I certainly understand that when it comes to the owner himself, he's not serious about it, and therefore he has to wait 3 days before he himself could take it from Hefker. That part I get. But what about somebody else? Anybody other than him? Meaning, if let's say he declares it to be Hefker, and then 5 minutes later, somebody else comes and takes it. Why can't we say that, look, somebody else took it? Okay, in other words, we no longer have to worry about he's just doing this for the tax exemption because somebody else took it. So why don't we say that? Meaning, the Ron's bothered by, why don't we make a really simple distinction? In other words, how do I know you're serious? How do I know you're not just creating a tax exemption? Oh, I'll tell you how I know, and that is that you're mafkirit and you take it back 2 minutes later, we're worried. We're worried. But if somebody else takes it 2 minutes later, what do we have to be worried about? In other words, if you did it for the tax exemption, let me tell you something. Not your best idea. Somebody else just took it, right? Forget tax exemption. You lost it all. So why can't we just simply say that when it comes to anybody else, acher, they can go ahead and take it immediately. The 3 day delay should just be only for the owner himself. Good. That's the Ron's question. The Ron's answer, Ron actually gives a couple of answers, but principally the Ron answers that, look, if we allow somebody else to take it immediately, the owner's going to say to himself, well, if it was Hefker for him, so why isn't it Hefker for me? I don't see the difference. And so therefore what the Chachamim have to do is they have to put a little teeth in it. In other words, in order to really show and reinforce to the owner that, look, you want this to be Hefker, so it's going to be Hefker, but only 3 days from now for everybody. So now that will be an indication that the owner really understands now, if I really want this to be Hefker, so I'm going to have to make the declaration now, wait 3 days from now, and nobody could touch it for the next 3 days? Okay. Now that will be a clear sign to the owner that if you want it to be Hefker, you really have to mean it. And it will only be demonstrated with you waiting 3 days. Okay. Good. Okay, and everyone else also has to wait 3 days as well. Admittedly, that's strange. Okay, look, the Bryce is strange. And what we're trying to do is explain it. I mean, the Ron is. Good. So that's the first part of the Bryce. That's the ratio of the Bryce. So in the Bryce, what did we learn? That if you declare something to be Hefker, it's Hefker. It takes 3 days for it to really kick in, the Hefker to kick in. Because what we're worried about is that we're worried about him just doing it as a way of manufacturing a tax exemption. Good. Now, part two of the Braisa, so we're on the top of Mem Dalam Ad Aleph. Amar Teisa Dezumuf Kersli Yom Echad L'Shabbos Echad L'Chodesh Echad L'Shana Echad L'Shavu Echad Ad Shalo Zachabo Bein Hu Bein Acher Yachol Achzabo Misha Zachabo Bein Hu Bein Acher En Yachol Achzabo. Now, let's say you make it Hefker L'Zman. Okay, Hefker L'Zman is really difficult to even wrap our heads around. I'm going to make it Hefker, but temporarily. After a certain period of time, it's no longer Hefker. Okay? So I'm going to make this Hefker for it, and it doesn't matter what the length is, whether it's a day, a week, a month. It could be even for a sabbatical cycle. 7 years, this will be Hefker. Hard to imagine we're talking about food. If it's a perishable, it ain't lasting for 7 years. Okay? Is that true by all foods? Not necessarily. Right? The grains in Egypt lasted for a long time. Anyway. But still, the point is that there's something called Hefker Lizman. So Hefker Lizman, so what's the halacha? The halacha is that Hefker Lizman, if somebody else takes it, So then, in your cholachzabo. Okay, so then your hefker was a hefker. But if you took it, so then what you can do is you can retract from your declaration of hefker. Okay, now the second half of the brisa, obviously over here, is challenging. Meaning the second half of the brisa, what just happened in the second half of the brisa, when you're mafker lizman, it's not definitive. No 3-day delay. We're not describing a 3-day delay over here. All we're simply saying is that if you take it back, it was never hefker. Lima freya. Doesn't matter whether you took it back a day later, 2 days later, a week later. Okay? In other words, if you took it back, it was never hefker. On the other hand, by hefker lizman, if somebody else takes it, and even if he takes it immediately, it's his. Okay. So over here now, as we're trying to wrap our head around the brisa, so we have two parts of the brisa, reisha and seifa. In the reisha of the brisa, we have a hefkerus, but on a 3-day delay. In the second half of the brisa, we're being introduced to this idea of hefker lizman. Hefker lizman works for others, but not for you. Okay. Who is the author of this brisa? Now, let's assume that we're going like Rav Yochanan. The way I'm presenting the Gemara today is all according to the Ran. We're not reading the Ran inside, but this presentation is all according to the Ran. So we're going to go back to Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yossi. That according to Rav Yossi, so what happens when you're mafkir? So what happens when you're mafkir is that you don't disown it. All you're doing is allowing somebody else to go ahead and take it, but you don't disown it. So now, if that's the correct understanding of Rav Yossi, here's what the Gemara's comment is. Reisha Rabbanan and Sefer Rav Yossi. The first part of the brisa is going like the Chachamim. What did we learn in the first part of the brisa? When you declared Hefker, are you the owner? No. Now again, there's a 3-day delay, but for now, ignore the 3-day delay. I know it's hard to ignore it, but ignore it. So are you the owner? No. How do I know that? Because after 3 days, what happens? What happens is that it's irretractable. And not only is it irretractable, anyone takes it after 3 days. So what have you taken it from? You took it from an entity called Hefker. Even if it's you yourself, the original owner, you took it back from Hefker. As a result of that, it's going to be part from Shumas and Maisos. Okay, good. In other words, that's the first half of the brisa. Again, the 3-day delay, hard to ignore it, but let's ignore it for just a moment. In the second half of the brisa, what do we learn? What we learned is that if you're a mafkir lizman, so as far as you're concerned, it never is hefker. You take it back. You didn't take it from hefker. What did you take it from? You took it from you. Meaning it's yours all the time. If somebody else takes it, so then it belongs to them. But if you take it, you take it back from you. In other words, in the second half of the brisa, hefker is not an entity in of itself. Either it's yours or it's somebody else's. But it never belonged to Hefker. Well, who's that? That's Rav Yossi. Again, Rav Yossi is understood by Rav Yochanan. The confusion now, it lies in the fact that first half of the Brisa is going like the Chachamim. Second half of the Brisa is going like Rav Yossi. Meaning, as now we're trying to assign authorship to the Brisa, that's very strange. One Brisa, two parts to it. And the authorship now is going to be assigned to two different Tanaim? That's unusual. Now, sometimes, by the way, you've been with me long enough in the Gemara, you know, sometimes the Gemara just shrugs his shoulders and says, okay, Reisha Rabbanan, Sefer Rabbi Yossi. Can it be? It can be. Would we prefer that? It's not our preference. Certainly not the preference. So what the Gemara now is going to do is, it's going to try to iron out the Brisa. We can iron it in one of two directions. We could say that the entire Brisa is like the Chachamim, or we could say like the entire Brisa is like Rabbi Yossi. What do you think the Gemara is going to do? Again, if you've been long enough, you know what the Gemara is going to do, and that is it's going to try in both. Okay, so let's try in both. Amar Ula, so Ula says no. So Seifa Nami Rabbanan he. So Ihachi Amay Shelo Zachaba Beinu Bein Acher Yachalach Zabo Shani Lashana Lashavua Delosh Chichei. So here's what Ula is going to try out, and that is that the entire Brisa belongs to the Chachamim. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, is there an entity called Hefker? Of course. When you make it Hefker, what are you doing? You're disowning it. It's not yours. Okay, good. So it's not yours. So in the first half of the Brisa, we get it. Again, the 3-day delay in terms of when Hefker is going to actually kick in. Good. Hold that thought. But in other words, it's not yours. It belongs to Hefker. when you take it back now from Hefker, so what did you do? You took it back from this entity called Hefker, meaning you're not the owner. Hefker's the owner. Good. That's the Chachamim. I hear that. That was easy. Now we get to the second half of the Brisa. And Hefker Lazman, and all of a sudden you're not the owner? So Ula would say, yeah. The Chachamim in such a scenario, so they would agree to Rav Yossi. And here it out, it makes sense, at least to me. Meaning Hefker Lazman. How strange is that? I'm not going to be the owner of this item, but only for the next week. After the week is up, nobody takes it. You know what? I'm going to take it back. What the Chachamim will then say is that, you know what? That's not Hefker. What you're doing is basically you're allowing somebody else to take it within a window, whatever that window is, a day, a week, a month, whatever it is. So when you're Mafkir Lizman, what the Chachamim will tell you is, in such a situation, I agree with Rav Yossi. I think then Rav Yossi's right. Then you are not giving it to Hefker, but rather what you're doing is you are just simply allowing someone else to take it. But, and how do I know that? It's very simple, because wait till the time period is over. You are mafkir for a week. What happens now, a week and a day later? It immediately comes right back to you. So what does that show? What does that indicate? What that indicates is that you were serious about giving it to Hefker? No. You were serious about maybe allowing somebody else to take it. But in other words, but there you weren't giving it to Hefker. Good. So, exactly the point. So when, in the second half of the Braisa, when you're Mafkir Lizman, so there, it's the sheet of the Chachamim, but in such a situation, because it was only temporary, they agree with Rav Yossi. Okay. That's one way to say over the Braisa. Reish Lakish Amar, I mean to say for Rav Yossi, Reish Anami Rav Yossi, and what Reish Lakish will try to do is go in the other direction. The second half is Rav Yossi. First half is Rav Yossi as well. Again, according to Rav Yossi, is there an entity called Hefker? No, there's no entity called Hefker. Meaning that when I give it to Hefker, what I'm doing is that I'm basically allowing somebody else to take it. Good. So in the second half of the Braisa, that's easy. It works out really well. That's going like the sheet to Rav Yossi. Meaning what happens when somebody else takes it? It belongs to him. But basically, it transferred from me to him. In other words, it didn't exist in this entity called Hefker. Good. Now, what about the Reisha? So Reisha, Hainu Taima, Dolo Lishtakech, Taras Hefker. So then, if the second half is Rav Yossi, so what's happening in the first half? The first half is going like Rav Yossi. Well, that's really difficult. Meaning, because what's Rav Yossi going to tell you? Rav Yossi will tell you that, somebody else takes it after the three-day delay, when somebody else takes it after the three-day delay, it belongs to them, but in other words, but it belongs to them as them having taken it from Hefker. Why? Meaning, I don't understand. If the first half is going like Rav Yossi, so what do you mean they took it from Hefker? You know where they took it from? They took it from you. In other words, Rav Yossi Shita is that there is no such thing as Hefker. When you declare something to be Hefker, what it means is you're allowing somebody else to take it. But they didn't take it from Hefker. They took it from you. So then I don't understand. How is the first half going like Rav Yossi? So over here, admittedly, this part of today's daf is tricky. I mean, a lot of today's daf is tricky, but this part is tricky. So so what we'll say is as follows, is that, look, if we put on our Rav Yossi glasses and look at it from the perspective of Rav Yossi, after 3 days, what are we really looking at? We're looking at transfer. In other words, it went from me to him. He didn't take it from Hefker. However, what the Chachamim were concerned about is the following. What the Chachamim were worried about is that if in fact the correct way to look at it is that it really is just a transfer and it's not taken from Hefker. So then even when he himself were to take it back, same thing. Meaning I'm not taking it from Hefker, I'm just simply giving it back to me.
Well, he's never left his possession.
Correct. What the Chachamim were concerned about is that people will forget the entire institution of Hefker. Okay, now, here's where it gets tricky. Okay, and again, I'm going to try to explain this, but here's where it gets tricky. Now, when I take it back, So, in other words, it was never in Hefker. I take it back. In other words, I never left possession of the item. And under those circumstances, it's certainly going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. But let's go over the following. According to Rav Yossi, I declare it to be Hefker. Somebody takes it. Is it going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maisers? Now, I have to tell you, really, this is hard, and this is like, it takes a little bit of thinking. In other words, I'll think about it more myself. But according to Rav Yossi, when I declare it Hefker and somebody else takes it, is it going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maisers? Even Rav Yossi will tell you it's really going to be exempt from Trumas and Maisers. Right. Why? So the Ran really struggles, meaning this is the entirety of the Ran over here in today's daf, in that here's what you're going to have to say. Rav Yossi acknowledges that there is something called Hefker, meaning even though when all said and done, Rav Yossi's view of Hefker is that it's like a Matana, but in other words, it's like a Matana, but it's not exactly a Matana. Meaning it's true that when somebody takes it, it is effectively him taking it from you. But again, who did you allow to take it? Whoever wants to take it. Meaning it's true that when all said and done, the transfer can be just diluted to the idea that it's me to him, but because I allowed anybody to do it, it still has a shame Hefker. It still is considered that he took it from Hefker. In the sense that you don't have to take Trumas and Maisers. Trumas and Maisers is where there's a definitive owner. Over here, because I declared it to be ownerless, and even though according to Rav Yossi, ownerless does not mean now that I'm no longer the owner, but because anyone who wants to can come along and take it. So therefore, vis-a-vis Trumas and Maisers, the person took it from Hefker, even according to Rav Yossi. Now, with that stated, you can imagine this. The next part is easy. You can imagine the confusion. It's so confusing. When someone else takes it, it's not Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. When you yourself take it back, it is Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. Oh my goodness, is that confusing? So therefore, just to level the playing field, here's what we're going to say. We're going to say that really, Min HaTorah, when you yourself take it back, is it Chayv and Trumas and Maisers? Yes. Oh. But what we don't want people to do is forget about the Chiyuv of Trumas and Maisers. So, I'm sorry. We don't want people to forget about Hefker. Meaning that there is something, even according to Rav Yossi, called Hefker. So, because we don't want people to forget about Hefker, so we're going to give this now a status of Hefker, even if you yourself took it back. So to which...
According to this plan, people could actually exchange properties, calling it Hefker, and get out of the...
Oh, okay, good. Okay, fine. All right, well, hold that thought. I'll respond to that momentarily. So the Gemara says, okay, the entire Bryce is going like Rav Yossi, which in of itself takes a lot to wrap our heads around. But if that's true, what's the 3-day delay? So I'm a rabba, mibnei ramayim de mafkirin v'hadrin behon. Okay, so this is something which we already expressed and articulated all the way from the very beginning. This part of the Gemara is easy. The 3-day delay, because, you know, people, if people can get out of paying their taxes, they'll do so. And what's going to happen is that if I declare it Hefker and take it back, and now I'm exempt from having to pay taxes, perfect. So Mimnei Aramayim, we're worried about these kinds of people, so therefore we put on the three-day delay. Good. So Avamid Araisalo Avi Hefker. So the Gemara says, okay, but you declared it Hefker. After 3 days, you took it back. So you're telling me that Min HaTorah, did you take it from Hefker? No, you didn't take it from Hefker. So what does that mean? Meaning that at this point in time, it's Chayv and Trumas and Maisos. So So the Gemara says, so now, aside from the fact that we're all now good and confused, even though it's not the best position to be in, but at this point in time, imagine. Mina Torah, what are we saying? When you yourself take it back, you didn't take it from Hefker, meaning it was yours. So that means that Min HaTorah is the Chayv and Trumas and Maisos? Yes, it is. What did the Chachamim come along and say? We don't want people to lose the institution of Hefker. So therefore, it's not going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. Oh my goodness. So now we're looking at produce, which Min HaTorah is in fact Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. Min HaRabbanan is exempt from Trumas and Maisers. So therefore, the obligation of each Trumas and Maisers operates on a Daraisa level and but not on a DeRabbanan level. And what you're going to do is that you're going to mix and match incorrectly. You're going to now use this produce to be mafresh on produce that is not chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, or alternatively, that is chayv in Trumas HaMaisos, meaning that you'll be mafresh min ha-patur l'chiv and min ha-chiv l'ha-patur. Meaning we know, the rule number one when it comes to afrasha, and that is that you have to be mafresh on a level playing field. You have to be mafresh on produce which is chayiv to produce which is chayiv. And if it's patur, so you can be mafresh from patur onto patur. Now, if it's both exempt, so why would you be mafresh altogether? Midrabbanan, if there's a rabbinic requirement to do so. But over here now, if people are confused, understandably, right? Right now, we're learning the daf, and it's confusing. So if people are confused, one can imagine, easily imagine, that you'll be chayiv, that a person then will be mafresh min achiv ala patur or min patur ala achiv. So the Gemara's response to that is the amre lei ki ma'asarta asarta mineuve. So the Gemara says, look, here's what we're going to tell him. What we're going to tell him is that this produce that you declared hefker, and then you yourself took it back, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep that separate, meaning you're going to treat it separately, and when you're mafresh it only in of itself, and not against any other produce. Exactly for this concern, that you'll be mafresh from chiyav on patur or patur on a chiyav. Okay. Comes out as follows. Let's quickly recap. That's it. That's today's daf. I know there's a little bit more to go. We'll finish it up tomorrow. In fact, if you turn the page, you don't have to turn the page. Look to the other side of the daf. You'll see tomorrow's daf is just as short. In fact, tomorrow's daf is even shorter. Side A and side B. Okay, tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we start the sixth parak. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to be talking about Breira, right? An exciting topic for tomorrow's daf. But that's tomorrow. Anyway, let's wrap up today. Let's recap today's daf. In today's daf, so what did we talk about? Hefker. And not only did we talk about Hefker, but Hefker through the lens of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that what is Hefker? Now, I say through the lens of Rav Yossi, we have to put one more lens in front of it, and that's Rav Yochanan. Through the lens of Rav Yochanan, through the lens of Rav Yossi. Okay, so when I'm looking at Hefker from that perspective, so what is Hefker? It's not this escrow account. It's not this entity in of itself. Rather, all I'm doing is I'm just simply allowing anyone to come along and take it. But when somebody does, it was a transfer from me to him. That is Hefker according to Rav Yossi. So now with that stated, so what did we do today? All we did today is learn a Braisa and try to assign authorship to that Braisa. Two parts of the Braisa and part one of the Braisa. So when I declare something to be Hefker, it is in fact Hefker, but only after a 3-day delay. When somebody takes it after 3 days, whether it be me or whether it be somebody else, they took it from Hefker. Okay, now that sounds like not Rabbi Yossi. That sounds like the Chachamim. In the second half of the Braisa, what do we talk about? Hefker Lizman, temporary Hefker. I'm allowing it to be Hefker, but only for a week, only for a month, only for a year. So under those circumstances, so somebody else comes along and takes it. So then he took it from Hefker. But if I take it back, what did I take it from? Not Hefker. What I took it from is, I took it from me. Meaning, I took it from me. In other words, it never transferred. It never went to Hefker. It came right back to me. And so therefore, that sounds like the sheet of Rav Yossi. So what the struggle was in today's daf is, first half of the Braisa is going like the Chachamim. Second half of the Braisa is going like Rav Yossi. And what did we do in today's daf? We tried out that really the entire Braisa is either going like the Chachamim or the entire Braisa is going out like Rav Yossi. Those are the two approaches in today's daf. So the entire Braisa is going like the Chachamim. How does that work? Here's how it works. That really, when I give it over to Hefker, it belongs to Hefker. Meaning, there's an entity called Hefker. It's no longer in my possession. And now it's ownerless. Ownerless is an entity in of itself. After 3 days, if I were to take it back, I took it from Hefker. Am I chayv in Trumas HaMaisos? No. Why a 3-day delay? We're worried about the Ramayim. Good. What about the second half of the Braisa? Is that also going like the Chachamim? Sure. But the Chachamim say that there's this entity called Hefker? Yes. That's when you're normal. But when you're abnormal, and again, by the way, it's a funny word choice. I'm just saying over the Gemara. The Gemara says it's lo shchiche. It's abnormal to declare something to be hefker lizman. So when you're doing it like that, so then even the Chachamim will say, you know what? Then Rabbi Yossi, I'm buying into your svara. Meaning you didn't give it over to hefker. If you gave it over to hefker, that would be an indefinite and an irreversible transfer to this entity called hefker. But I'm only doing it lizman. What I'm doing is that for the next week, I'm allowing somebody else to take it. Nobody takes it, I take it back. Okay? Right. I was going to say it's kind of like a garage sale. But it's not a great analogy because in a garage sale, nobody can just go in and take it. They have to purchase it. Okay. It goes
back to him automatically?
Right. No, it goes right. It just goes back to him automatically.
Automatically. Yeah. You have to make it
correct. So that's one way to understand the Brisa, and the entire Brisa goes like the Chachamim. Alternatively, the entire Brisa is going like Rabbi Yossi. The entire Brisa is going like Rabbi Yossi. Second half works out great. What about the first half of the Brisa? That's tricky. Of the parts of today's daf, to suggest that the entire Brisa is going like Rav Yossi, and the Reisha is also going like Rav Yossi, how does that work? Meaning, according to Rav Yossi, somebody's taking it from Hefker? What does that mean? He's not taking it from Hefker. There is no entity of Hefker. What it means is that we don't want people to forget about the institution of Hefker. Meaning that even according to Rav Yossi, there is this institution called Hefker. Again, it's hard to wrap our heads around what that means. If it's a direct transfer from me to him, and there is no entity called Hefker, so what is this institution of Hefker? Even according to Rav Yossi, there's something called Hefker vis-a-vis Petur Chi of Trumos HaMaisos. And because of that, when somebody else takes it, we don't want them to forget about the Chi of Petur Trumos HaMaisos. So when you yourself take it back, there's also going to be a Chi of Petur Trumos HaMaisos, albeit Midurabanan. And then that's where it gets really confusing. So that means that Min HaTorah, it's really chayv in Trumos HaMaisos when you take it back, but only because of this concern of forgetting about the institution of Hefker. So therefore, the Chachamim waived that obligation. So then, and if that's true, so then, when in fact you're going to be mafresh, you're going to be so confused. You're going to be mafresh from Petur and from Chiyuv onto Petur. The Gemara says, yeah. So what we'll tell the individual is, when you take it back, you keep that separate. Never bring that back to the rest of your pile. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, doesn't sound like a simple solution. It's not a simple solution. Anyway, but that's at least a way of understanding that the entire Brisa is really going like Rabbi Yossi. Good, Adkan. Okay, tomorrow we're going to finish the parak. Start the new parak tomorrow. In terms of words, tomorrow may be one of the shortest dapim in the Daf Yomi cycle. But as you can see, when tomorrow or the second half of the daf, we're going to be talking about Breira. That's exciting. Right, the Ran obviously has a lot to say regarding Breira. The learning that we do this week is Shabilizekh Nishmas. Michal Ben Shragafai Valevi and Neshama Shava, a continued Aliyah Neshama.